Yo, 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 welcome back to Amberland. Welcome back, motherfuckers and fatherfuckers alike. Very happy to be in front of this mic. It is a beautiful Thursday. And before I get started, though, before I get things popping off, I want to dedicate this first portion. I want to give a shout out, rather, to comedian Tony Baker. He recently lost his firstborn, his son, Serene, middle name, full name Serene Raekwon, because Tony Baker's a big Raekwon fan, so Serene Raekwon Baker. He and three friends were victims to illegal street racing. Well, street racing is illegal everywhere, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, they died on impact, and it doesn't get any sadder than that. When I read the news, or when I first saw it last week, I was torn up, and I can't even imagine what Tony Baker's going through. He's been really, really, he's been keeping us posted, but it's really sad. And if we're comedians, man, I can relate to what he's doing, you know, when he's like, don't feel sad for me, don't cry for me, don't send flowers, just appreciate you all giving the love and support that you have been doing. And you can tell he's been mourning, man. It's been sad, and he's been sharing videos of the vigil that they had for Serene and his two friends that died with them. So it's really fucked up. At first when I read it sounded like they were involved in the street racing. It's really fucked up that they were just innocent bystanders. So, because they were killed by two other cars on impact. It's real fucked up. So, I definitely wanted to give a shout out to Tony Baker. He had two sold out shows already, and they added a third one, which I'm assuming is definitely sold out. It's supposed to be the end of this month at ATL Comedy Theater over there off Jimmy Carter. So, over in Norcross. I'm not sure he's gonna still perform, but he was slated to do those shows here. So my heart goes out to him and his family. It's just really heartbreaking. All right, so when I get started, I will also give on a lighter note, I want to give another shout out to my homies Sean and Draft with the videographer Warren. Give a major shout out to them, Wash Gods. You heard me give them a shout out plenty of times. They've shown me a lot of love on their podcast, so I finally was able to, not finally able, I didn't mean it like that. No CC Peniston, but I was able to do a collab with them. Or I guess they had me as their guest. So they recorded and I went over to say my piece, and felt like I was a honorary Wash Goddess. So that was cool. So yeah, shout out to y'all. I had a really good time. It was really, really dope recording, chopping it up, talking about all kinds of different things, including hoops. Shout out to y'all for letting me go with my basketball deep dives, because I was saying all kinds of random names. Like, well, I haven't heard that nigga in a minute. But yeah, Katino Mobley. I was very pleased that I was able to drop that dude's name, Katino Cat Mobley, because he moved smooth like a cat. A lot of people, it's so wild, like, because I've been watching basketball for so long, like, literally most of my life. Like, basketball was just, like, literally ball is life. Even when I took a break from basketball, I couldn't take a break, you know what I'm saying? It's just in me. And there's so many basketball players, so many NBA players that was just walking buckets and people don't know about them. And it's just wow. Especially a lot of them don't know about them because a lot of the young kids now, their favorite players are not from that era. Their favorite players happen like LeBron. You know, a lot of the kids who are like the Cade Cunninghams who just got drafted first from Detroit Pistons, like, their generation grew up on LeBron and Carmelo, so a lot of them don't know about God, Sham God, or like I just mentioned, Ketino Mobley and his University of Rhode Island teammate. Even though they didn't play together outside of practice because Lamar Odom was redshirting, but Lamar Odom too. Like, it was so many. Like, it's fucked up that people only know, a lot of people, who came up in the past 20 years, a lot of people know Lamar Odom as Khloe Kardashian's ex-husband and the nigga who almost died because he was on crack and was in a brothel. So, and it's fucked up. Like, it's fucked up. People don't know, like, how he's one of the greatest basketball players in the NBA, But yeah, I was even listening to Knuckleheads, and they were just on the they just had Big Dog Glenn Robinson on there, and Quentin Richardson made a great point, and I have made this point in an episode that was literally dedicated to him, half dedicated to him rather. But yeah, Eddie Jones. He's like, yeah, a lot of people know who Eddie Jones is, and that just be like, what? I remember one time, it was last year actually, my brother-in-law, shout out to you, bro. Cause he's old school. He didn't want to Google. He knew that I would know the answer, so he called me and left a message. Like, man, I was talking to a homie about Eddie Jones. What college did he go to? And I was like, these niggas don't know he was a baller at Temple. What the fuck is this? But yeah, so I love being that person. And anyways, all that to say, being on the Watch Guys was dope. I'm definitely gonna have them on the show. So keep your ears peeled for that. In the meantime, you just get this goof ass, rasp ass, B. Arthur-esque voice. Maud. Anyway, so yeah, shout out to Watch Guys. Shout out to Versus as well. The locks and dip set. I ain't gonna lie, y'all. Look, okay. So I definitely know about the clips, and I know about, of course, the most famous one with Jadakiss redoing or rehashing the fun memory of him doing the Who Shot Ya freestyle. And so, yeah, he's a dick, you pussy, y'all neighbors. Like, I mean, it was just kind of over after that. But honestly, me personally, and I still gotta watch the full one because I ain't gonna lie, I watched that shit the next day because I couldn't watch it live because I was probably a show. I think it was a show. Yeah, I was doing a show. And when I saw that the lock started with Fuck You, I was like, well, this is clearly, I don't want to watch it beaten. And then looking at Joel Santana with whatever the fuck he had on, I was like, you know what? I love Cam'ron, and he's a baller too. You want to talk about walking bucket? So I was like, look, I can't watch these guys get demolished like this. So I'm just gonna enjoy this performance of Fuck You, and then I'm gonna not watch the rest of this, because that shit, I mean, I was like, that, I mean, I was heavily affected by just watching that. I was like, you know what? It's over, guys. I mean, it just started, but it's over. I don't want to watch the rest of this. I don't like movies that involves torture, and I just felt like it was torture involved, if I continued to watch. So, and I, like I said, I still fuck with Dipset, so I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna enjoy all the memes, but yeah. I mean, like, you got two dudes who rap, like, you got Styles P and Jadakiss, and I felt like a decade ago when they started their juice bar in the hood of, in the hood of New York, the Bronx or Yonkers, I was like, you know what? They're untouchable. Y'all can't fuck with niggas who's bringing fresh cold press juices to the hood. Like, and they're decades strong. And look at Jadakiss. That nigga still look like he 23. That nigga look like he's still in the Honey video remix. So it's like, I mean, that nigga look young as shit. It was just kind of weird just watching him, and then it just looked like he didn't age really. And then just hearing him rap, I'm like, this nigga did not age. Excuse me. Like, the Fabulous and Jada one, it was like, yeah, because But like Jada was like ready. I mean, the locks, I mean, they were just ready. Fuck You's like, it's like one of my all-time favorites, like in like of anything. It's just, I remember when I first heard that shit, I was like, oh, they rapping on this beat, damn, this is crazy. And then, and you know what's even crazier? Because I fucked around and heard the locks for the first time for the We'll Always Love Big Papa. Nobody had bars in that shit. It's not the point, man. They weren't trying to, you know what I'm saying? They were just talking. They were looking out for their boy. And I was like, who the fuck is the locks? This shit sucks. But then they started coming out with their own shit. And I was like, oh, I fucked up. I fucked up. And then Jada did his own shit. And I'm like, oh, I fucked up doubly. Why did I think they were weak? What the fuck was this? I just didn't give them a chance the first go around. Yeah, I was wildin' cause I'm young. No, but yeah. Shout out to the Locks is really the whole point of this. They got money, power, and respect. They good. They don't need it. Don't need Lil' Kim singing for them. Alright, anyway. Yes. Shout out to Versus, man. They keep doing shit that makes us intrigued. I ain't mad. Y'all, when y'all gonna do a goddamn. Hey. Hey, guys. Hey. To all my 20 listeners, let's push for a Versus with Triple Six Mafia and 8-Ball and MJG. Okay, honestly, the real Versus would be Triple Six Mafia versus Bone Thugs and Harmony. But what are we doing? Let's give props to the Memphis Negroes. Why they don't give props to them? People act like I'm not gonna do this. I'm always talking. I was literally just talking about this last night. I can't keep spending my free time talking to Atlanta niggas about Memphis shit. So, like, I'm from there. Fucking from the. Not even from white Memphis. I wouldn't even consider Nashville white Memphis. So, not even gangsta. But still, they gotta start respecting my niggas from Memphis, man. I mean, even. Yeah, I don't know. Even like a, what about a Houston one too, man? Like the Ghetto Boys. Let's get Willie D up in this bitch. He got a podcast and everything. He out here being a councilman and shit. Let's get Willie D in this motherfucker. Excuse me. I got called up, clearly. But yes, we'll talk about it, guys. All right, so aside from today, I'm hosting a show for the homie Vanetta Schofield. Shout out to you. She's a, let's see, she's a showrunner. She did the 1865 festival that I raved about so much in previous episodes. But she also is a business owner. She has an LLC for her comedic vision that she had 5 years ago called Funny Honeys, because she it's kind of it's very interesting. I'm glad to be able to collaborate with her and host for her, because we have the same vision essentially in different parts of the country. Because her Funny Honeys is she made a business out of it, and she's been doing multiple, like, hella shows. Very, very successful in New York, and now it's successful here in Atlanta. And it's she's celebrating 5 years of doing a show that she thought that was only going to last, not even a show, but a concept. This is a concept. So that's what is different. She, we both had the same vision, but she turned hers into a concept that turned into multiple shows. And I stuck with one, with Girls Night Out. But the vision was, we not only do we need more women in lineups, but we need more black women, women of color, especially black women in lineups. So I love that she has moved here, and because I have a homie, shout out to you, Holly Lynae. She's out here killing it too. She's opening for Chelsea Handler. sold out tours of that. So shout out to you, Holly, because she was a major assist in linking us. She's like, yeah, y'all need to link up because y'all both dope. I'm like, you dope. So if you say she dope, then she dope, then we dope. And it's been a really dope collaboration. So I definitely had to. I mean, we've been talking about 4 months, so I definitely had to do this for her, because I mean, I fuck with her, and I'm very, very pleased to do this. And it's a dope ass lineup, and we have a great headliner, and it is today. So if you hear it today, if you get there by 9, holla. But if not, if you hear it now, it's already been a great show. You fucked up and missed it. Oh, go to my socials. I've been promoted all damn week. But yeah, after this show, I'm going to take a pause on performing because it's getting crazy out here. So the numbers are getting wild. Like, it's back to what we were seeing in the early stages of the pandemic. Just all these deaths and hospitalizations is fucked up. So yeah, I'm gonna take a little pause on that. Really just 2 weeks, because I'm on a show on the 25th, and I will be doing that. But yeah, a couple of weeks. I'm just gonna take 2 weeks off. I already took like 3 weeks off too, because I did a show last week and that was fun. It was impromptu, but I just feel safer because I had a show I was gonna do on Friday in Sugar Hill, which is like 100 hours away. It's like so long, so far away. But I love that. I love it. It's good food out there, good schools. But yeah, I was gonna do a show there, and then I was gonna do a show at Ponce. So I had three shows lined up in a row for this week, but I'm just doing this one tonight because I just don't really feel like putting my mouth into a mic where other people are already done that. So at least when I'm hosting, I'll have my separate mic and then let the mother motherfuckers know. We have mic covers, so it's fine. So we're definitely gonna be COVID friendly and social distancing and all that. But yeah, man, y'all gotta be careful out there. It really, honestly, we fucked up. What fucked up most vaccinated people was CDC. That was so erroneous of them to come out with that. Granted, it was like err on the side of caution when they posted it, but the new guidelines saying that vaccinated people can be. They can go indoors without masks. When they said that, that's when I knew shit was gonna get crazy. I was like, nope, that's not it. And I personally never paid attention to that part, thankfully. I did not believe that. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna go inside without a mask right now. I still don't wanna do it. 'Cause you still got a lot of, 'cause I was looking at the vaccine numbers. It wasn't even 70%. I feel like, yeah, there was no way I can do it. I ain't doing that, baby. You got me messed up. No thanks. And I'm gonna just move on. 'Cause, and the whole thing, 'cause where I work now, but I mean, at my job, we reinforce masks to come in for entry. And there's been people who try to argue with it, and it's like, well, you ugly anyway, so you might as well put it on that butter face anyway. Actually, you ain't got no butter face because your body whack too. Oh, just kidding, because we're not here to talk about people's bodies. So we're gonna talk about that later. that was just me being catty and petty. I was just saying, people ugly inside and out. That's really the bottom line. The main ones who are upset about it are the ugly motherfuckers inside and out. And I don't got time for people like that. If you want to argue with me, then you win. You gonna always win when you argue with me. I'm too goddamn old. It's like, especially when I know I'm right, or even if I'm wrong. That's even worse. If I'm wrong, I'm definitely not gonna argue back and forth. Shit, I'm just gonna listen. But I'm definitely not gonna argue back and forth with somebody who just really want to be the big boy, you know? It's like, you got a little nigga. Speaking of big boy, the baby. The baby is the idiot. You know what? This is actually a good time to pause. So let's take a little time out before I get into it. All right, so the baby. I didn't really expound on it when it was a topic of discussion on the Wash Guys episode I did. 'Cause I'm like, this nigga did bop. Like, what the fuck he got to say about masculinity? Or, you know what I'm saying? And then the whole equating HIV and AIDS and giving head in a parking lot, equating that to gayness is the stupidest thing. So when I read about it, I was like, this nigga dumb. Like, I couldn't even like process it yet, 'cause I'm like, this nigga dumb. I don't even want to waste my breath on somebody that's dumb. But then he just kept making it worse. And I was like, oh, like he did the video and I didn't even watch that shit. And then he did a bullshit ass apology, sorry for being me. Didn't even, you know, I was like, I didn't even finish that. But then he actually had a more well thought out apology. But it was only after he was dropped by Lollapalooza and Governor's Ball. So, granted, Lollapalooza, it was 180,000 people there. That's a weird flex during a pandemic for sure. I mean, now we got all them big ass COVID, all them COVID numbers. Shit, I mean, Duke Deuce was at Rolling Loud too, and he ended up getting COVID, man. He just now been able to eat solid foods, it looked like, but he's still hooked up to a ventilator, it looks like, according to what he shared on his Instagram. All that to say, it's fucking weird having all these big ass concerts, but whatever, do your thing, you do your thing. 108,000 people, though, that's a lot of motherfuckers. But yeah, wasn't that many yet. It wasn't as many as Rolling Loud, but it was still like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. So he's saying all that shit on a very, very large platform. And it's misinformative as fuck, because I just hate that shit. I guess because I grew up in an era where fucking Magic Johnson had HIV. I just never. And then on top of that, knowing the story of Arthur Ashe, because he died from AIDS because of blood transfusion, even though I don't even want to get into that. That's another conspiracy. That's another theory. I'm not even gonna say conspiracy, because when that happened, when Arthur Ashe died from that, I was like, something ain't. Anyway, I ain't even gonna go there. But still, knowing those two men who were, you know, both famous heterosexual men, and they both had it, and so I just never. I was blessed to grow up in the era where they, because I didn't, I was born in the 80s, but I was coming of age in the 90s. So by the time the 90s roll around, we had Philadelphia. So they were, you know, there was, the media was doing a much better job at letting us know how misleading they were a decade earlier. So I will say that I was blessed with that knowledge, because there's people really thinking like the baby who think that, oh, you. Oh, when I see gay men loving each other, I see AIDS and HIV. It's fucking dumb. And I've met so many people, and I know people, straight and gay, with HIV. And they are all some of the, like, literally the healthiest people I know. Like, so. Just this, the whole stigma behind that, anyway, it's just all bad all around. Everything about that shit was so bad. And I needed some time to process this shit, because it just bothered me so much. But it's like, but at the time, I was like, I don't even know what to say about this nigga, because fuck him. He's clearly a power bottom. Like, if that nigga bent over, his asshole would look like the fucking Scream painting. You feel me? Like, big fucking gaping hole, you know, like, if you okay, I'm done. You get it, you get it. All I'm saying, that nigga can't use a bidet, he can use a goddamn hose. I'm talking about the same hose them racist cops are using on our black ass when we fight for civil rights. Hell, you could put a whole ass fire hydrant in his asshole and he'd be all right, you know what I'm saying? He clearly takes it. That's all I'm saying, because all that shit was just sound like, I'm mad that this is who I am, so let me find these yellow bone, because the whole yellow bone controversy with Danny Lee, that he played the shit out of Danny Lee, and now homegirl pregnant. I mean, and it's fucked up for her, because I mean, she mumsky wumsky, which is fair. I don't have much sympathy for her, but I still am an empath, and I can't help but see, you know, what she's going through. So, you know, he dropped the seed in her, and that's the thing. It's like, that's what's fucked up for her, because she's played no matter what. If she's like, oh, the baby, this is the baby's baby, it's like, oh, okay, you get in line, you're like the fifth baby mama now. But if she's like, no, I got, the baby's not my dad, the baby's not the father of my child, then they're gonna paint her as, oh, so she was cheating with him, so fuck. So she kind of, it's a loose, that's a big old L for her, but a win for her, because she wanted a child, so go you. But yeah, he played the shit out of her. But yeah, all that shit, the yellow bone controversy, until now. But you know, that's why he finding all these, you know, super cute exotic bitches to impregnate so he can look like that. Oh, look at me. This is losing my trophies. Fucking loser, man. This dude is whack. Huh. And then he gonna have the nerve to hang out with LaMelo Ball doing the ESPYs, man. You don't fucking deserve it, bro. You ain't shit. Nah, I'm just kidding. But for real, fuck the baby. Let's move on. Basketball! So, we're gonna talk about the trades that happened. It's the most wonderful time of the year after basketball season ends because, you know, after the draft, a week later. Damn, trade deadlines and free agency deadlines. They're the best. They're the fucking best. So we got Kyle Lowry going to the Miami Heat, which I'm happy for because he, you know, and he got a ring, so he good. And it was cold. It's cold as fucking Toronto. So much so that them niggas, either Toronto or Montreal, one of them Canadian ass cities, it gets so cold there that they have like an underground tunnel for people to, you know, walk during the wintertime, which is a very good idea. But yeah, Kyle Lowry is gonna go to the Heat now, so total opposite. And then Jimmy Butler's gonna be there too. He just got. Oh, and Udonis gonna be there too. So he's most likely gonna be the only player to be at the same team for as long as he's been there for 19 seasons. So we got $184 million for 4 years for Jimmy Butler. This nigga's Jimmy Buckets. He's got 40 mil plus a year, which is amazing because this is the same nigga who his mom kicked out at what 12 or 13 because she said she didn't like the look of him. She's like, "You look like you're gonna be up to no good," and then all kinds of shit. I mean, you know, he didn't get much love during his college season. I mean, his college years or oh, he went to Marquette, right? Yeah. So, but still, he didn't get a lot of love early on in the draft either. I mean, early on in the NBA either. There's a lot of people just like trying to figure out what type of player he was. And the story, one of the funniest stories was when he was talking about when he was first getting into the league, he said that he got a truck and removed the rearview mirror because he doesn't believe in looking back, and it's like dope but dangerous. So shout out to the Heat. They go probably come back next season for sure. They're gonna be a problem in the East again. Speaking of another problem in the East. The New York Knicks look like they're gonna be a problem. They just got a wrong K name. They just got Kemba Walker, who that's my dude, man. Ever since UConn days, man, that dude's a beast. But yeah, Kemba Walker's gonna be in New York. He's returning home. Apparently, everybody's happy about it. Then you got Carmelo Anthony. He's gonna be in LA with his homie LeBron James. That's really cute. That's gonna be cute to see. I ain't gonna lie. And then DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball. They both are going to Chicago. So Chicago gonna be a problem too. They were a problem even then. They were ninth seed, so or either they were ninth seed or they just missed the playoffs. But they're gonna be a problem too. I even think the Detroit Pistons. I was watching when I had league pass. I watched a lot of the Pistons and I watched a lot of the Hornets because I love the broadcast team on both of them, but they're a fun team to watch. The Pistons are gonna be something. They're gonna be something to look at. Oh, your boy Iggy, Andre Iguodala, man. He gonna go on back to the Golden State. So yeah, he got the veteran max, either veteran max or minimum, 2.6 mil. And he's going to retire probably in Golden State, which I don't blame him. So, yeah, shout out to him, man. That's dope. And then Trae Young and Luka, they both got $207 million contract. They both got that max. So, they both ended up being, they were traded for each other for their respective teams. So, they ended up working out both for each other's team. So, I like that shit. I like seeing that. I like seeing dudes who come up in the draft and they, you know, and especially if they got traded and they end up being valuable for both of the teams that they're on. That's dope. We're talking about valuable. We're going to talk about the most valuable lucky nigga. That goes to JaVale McGee. I've been watching this dude not be good for about 10, seasons now. I'm not gonna say he's not good because he's clearly good. To, you know, going to the league ain't no hope. But you know, he's just one of the. He's like always a role player in every team he's on. But he plays a great role and he ends up winning rings. So now this nigga got 3 rings because he was on the Lakers last season, and then 2 with Golden State. He's a whole ass gold medalist too, because the Olympic team, they won gold, even though people thought that they weren't going to because they lost to France. So they had a rematch with France and they beat them. So they are gold medalists now. So JaVale McGee, he's just like his mom, Pam McGee. So they're, like, I know she's proud. You know, she had an NBA son, or son at an NBA, 3-time champion, 9 gold medalist, just like her. It's fucking adorable. Shout out. Because his mom won in 84. So, yeah, that's pretty dope. And, I didn't really watch much of the Olympics. I did watch some of the Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart post-interviews. That was pretty funny. But, yeah, I didn't really fuck with the Olympics. Just go around with all that bullshit that was happening. But I did see a very interesting perspective about Carrie Strug and her quote-unquote heroic vault exercise that she did when she, you know, the whole, for people who don't know, was 96 and her leg was broken like a motherfucker. Not even her leg, but her ankle, which is the most important thing when it comes to landing, I would say. She had already had a broken ankle and she ran fast speed. And she won the gold medal for their Olympic team, the gymnastics team, on a broken ankle. And she immediately had to be picked up and then she had a cast on her knee. Like, it was very clear that she should not have done that shit. And, you know, I remember even then I was like, wow. Like, I've always, I never really, like, had an opinion about it. I always thought that was, you know, that definitely was heroic and that she sacrificed her ankle for that. Because she probably has didn't recover from that fully. So, there was a new perspective on that. It's like, yo, we shouldn't be support. I mean, we really shouldn't be rooting for this, you know, because she was hurt. And they didn't even need her to do that shit. Come to think about it, they already kind of had the gold medal in the bag. So I don't know why they had her do that shit. But we haven't heard from her since, really, like that, when it came to her doing any more Olympic runs or any gymnastics at all. So yeah, it was a definitely interesting new perspective about that, considering how everybody tried to play Simone Biles as a quitter because she put her mental health first over everything. And yeah, it's funny seeing how it was just funny seeing like all the bullshit takes on it. It's like, y'all niggas ain't shit, niggas universally. But for real, it's like, what are we doing? Like, what are we actually doing? We really gonna criticize somebody who, I mean, that's the thing. They hate seeing a black person relax and rest is already one thing, but a black woman is like, what? And it's just so ridiculous how it's just people and their mindsets when it comes to black athletes. Like, you should do it this regardless, do this or else. Like, oh, what, you got money riding on them? Like, who are you? Like, who are these people who sitting on couches having the nerve to criticize what these Olympic athletes are doing? Fuck out of here. So yeah, I wasn't really into trying to watch the Olympics, but I know that Jamaica had a clean sweep and I think it was 800 meter dash. I don't know. One of them fast ass sprinting ass races. So it was a clean sweep for Jamaica. It was first, second, and third place. That shit was amazing. Ooh-wee, what them niggas be running from in Jamaica? What y'all running from? Why y'all so fast? Nah, but yeah, shout out to everybody who placed and shout out to everybody who did their thing. Oh yeah, the 13-year-old Brazilian girl. I forgot her name. Fuck. What did I say? Larissa, LaysSA. She was the young girl who, like 6 years ago, she was wearing fairy wings and she did a kickflip or whatever on a, not or whatever. I'm just high. You know, skateboard terms. I'm trying. But yeah, she did like a really dope skateboard trick when she was wearing fairy wings. And it went viral. I remember her. Well, she placed, I think she was silver. She was a silver or bronze in a skateboard competition. So, fucking amazing. Oh, yeah, and the one who was first place is another 13-year-old girl. Yeah, they're both 13. It was a Asian girl who won. I want to say she represented Japan, but that's why I said Asian to make it sick. I don't remember which country. But she's 13, and she was a gold medalist. And then the young lady from Brazil who placed second. So, I know. I try to remember all these facts while high. But anyway, this is a good time to have another break. Time out, B. Yo, boy, oh boy, what is it with miserable ass motherfuckers? Like, I can't stand a miserable ass bitch. That is just some of the saddest types of interactions I've ever had, and also the type of interactions that I really have to fight very, very hard to not catch a case, because I'll never forget when, like, over, I was like 20 at the time. No, I was 21. And aka well, very much so an adult. And I was telling a coworker of mine at the time, we were on the newspaper staff, and he worked for the cops division, so he knows all about the law and shit. And I just talked about how there was an interaction that really wanted, that almost led me to want to punch someone in the face. And he goes, yeah, he would have gone to jail for that though. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh shit, assault. Oh shit, I'm an adult. I can't do these things anymore that I was could have done as a kid and got away with. But I don't know. Anyway, all that to say, I really wanted to smack a couple of bitches. And I mean, it was to the point where I was like, but I didn't even ask you to be in my, like, you came to me. I don't even fuck with you. I mean, both times I wasn't even fucking with them, right? So yeah, I'm hanging with my homegirl because we're grilling, having a good time. We're grilling all kinds of shit. And her next door neighbor, she put in on some food too. And I mean, I brought what I was grilling. And she had some stuff, and then, like, we all were cooking. But at the same time, I don't fuck with this neighbor right now, because my friend has already forgiven her, and that's cool, because that's her relationship to have. But as a friend who knows that this woman ain't about shit, and she a miserable-ass bitch, she almost had, I mean, she got my friend caught up in some bullshit. I'll just say that. And some bullshit that involved police. And old girl, the neighbor, tried to guilt trip my friend by saying this wouldn't happen if you need, you know, that type of miserable ass drunk bitch shit. She's also drunk because misery loves company, as I've said. You know, you can't be, you know, a miserable bitch without being a drunk. Some of these people, so very, very, very stereotypical, ain't about shit type bitch. But the problem was, like, I wasn't really, I mean, you know, I was cordial, but I wasn't going out my way to fuck with her because she's not even a friend. So, like, if she was a friend to my friend, then no problem. But only time I know of her is when she's bringing chaos to my friend's life. And she was getting drunk, and she started to mouth off. Like, and it was bad because, like, I get up to leave because we were smoking outside. And we get up, and, well, I get up because I had to go pee. And then I was, like, doing something else. And when I came back out, my friend was coming back in all upset. And I was like, what's going on? And so she just explained to me that fucking dumb bitch was talking shit about me behind my back. That is so childish to me. Like, what are we doing? Like, she's in her 40s, I'm pushing 40, and you talking shit behind my back, like, as soon as I get up, unbeknownst to me at that. Like, I didn't even know there was some beef involved. Like, I thought the only beef that was involved was the fucking steak that was grilling on the goddamn grill. So, what, so all this shit, she's, you know, when my friend's telling me, like, yeah, she was saying how she was upset that you didn't pass the blunt to her. Bitch, you're not vaccinated, and this is COVID times. I ain't passing you a goddamn thing. And I know you've been sucking mediocre dick to begin with. I'm not sharing mediocre dick germs with a bitch I don't even fuck with. Get the fuck out of here, first off. And you drunk off Alizé, second of all, bitch, you know? Third of all, I don't need basic bitch, miserable bitch energy germs in my fucking vicinity. Why would I share shit with you? I don't even fuck with you like that. And then apparently she's like, well, she's eating my food. Bitch, I was not eating your food. And guess what? I don't want none of your food. You take your stinking ass steak that you got with your bitch ass and eat that shit. And then eat it and feed it to the nigga who don't even fuck with you because you drunk and boring. Get the fuck out of here. So she's saying all this shit to me. And I'm just like the hood side that I always keep under wraps. Because it's just not, you know, whatever. For obvious reasons, right? Everybody know who got a hood side. They know why we keep it under wraps. Because niggas got to make money. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was kind of like on some string of bell shit. This is the first of many raw references I'm going to make in this episode, I guess. No, like, for real, though. Like, you know, I try to keep my hoodness finesse. I've worked hard on it. And it's cool. That's how I don't cut people. That's how I don't punch people. You know what I'm saying? That's how I don't judo chop motherfuckers or karate chop or kick, you know? And I'm very, very pleased with that. I'm very proud of that. Like, that feels great. And I want to keep that going because I don't like my anger getting the best of me because I let that shit all out when I was playing sports. Fucking Wile E. Coyote. Like, I look back on my antics, man. I remember one time I was just an asshole, basically. And this chick called me a bitch one time. We were on the court. And I didn't even get mad. I was like, thank you, baby. So all that to say, you know, if I'm not playing, I don't play sports regularly like that anymore. So there's other ways where I keep my aggression under wraps. You feel me? So, you know. So all this to say, I realized that I'm like, man, God really had my back in this moment because if she had said any of that shit to me to my face, it would not have been pretty. Like, she would have gotten slapped in the face. I really 100% would have slapped that bitch in the fucking face and walked the fuck off and continuously like a fucking baby. Get the fuck out of here. So she's talking all this shit about me to my friend. That's the weirdest, weakest shit to me. Shout out to my friend, though. She totally filleted and batoned. Like, she filleted the bitch. She's like, yo, my friends think you a bitch because of how you played me that last time. So she ain't got to be nice to you at all. And that's exactly what it is, bitch. Like, I ain't got to be nice to you if you're not even nice to my homie. And my homie's just being nice to you because she's giving you grace. Bitch, the fuck out of here. So that shit, right? I'm like, you miserable ass, bullshitting ass, see you next Tuesday. Spell it out, girl. And so it got, I almost hit my friend. I was like, yo, man, give me that bitch's number. Because I was about to go in. And I was like, you know what? Chill. But that really tested me. That's my least favorite thing. Like, if you're going to talk shit about me, say that shit to my face. Don't be all smiling in my face. And then as soon as I get up to pee, you're going to be like, I'm trying to be nice to her, but she ain't trying to. Bitch, I ain't got to fucking do shit for you. Well, why she didn't pass the blunt? Bitch, did you have weed to pass to me? The fuck out of here. Why would I? And also, it's not going to be an even trade with your Reggie ass smoking ass shit. Fuck out of here. That shit bothers me. It's like, are you really like, what? You going to talk shit about me to my friend? That is the weakest shit to me. Get the fuck out of here. No thanks. So that was one. I was like, ooh, miserable ass bitches. Another one was, And this is like, this is filed under, this conversation did not have to happen, and you did not have to be involved in any of this. But I hate when people come up to me and they just start like saying a bunch of shit to me. And I'm like, first of all, I don't really fuck with you like that. Why is this the first thing you saying to me? Second of all, do you hear yourself when you speak? Because you sound real fucking stupid. Also, you involved yourself in this situation. You don't have to be around me. You can fuck off somewhere. So, I was overcoming my allergies because every time I get allergies, the last symptom is coughing out all the shit. So that was it. I was coughing out the allergies part, and so I was like, like that. It was dry coughs. And this bitch go be like, and I already forgot that she was like around me. She's like, Amber, are you okay? Like, yeah. And then I heard the judgment in the tone, and I go, well, not that I have to explain myself to you, but this is a cough from me having allergies. And she was like, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. And I was like, okay, thanks for looking out, bitch. They're gonna be like, are you vaccinated? Yes, bitch. Are you here still? Why? You gonna go now. You gonna go now. Like, who are these people, man? Like, stop talking to me. Oh, I hate it. This is why I don't hang out after comedy shows, because it's always this type of bullshit that people be like, and it's always for people. It's like, oh, you do comedy, but when you gonna make me laugh, bitch? You've been doing this for years. Fuck out of here. I hate it. And we're in a pandemic, and we still got these same ass unfunny motherfuckers who, let me chill, because it's gonna come off as mean. I don't feel like being Michael Jordan right now, but like some of these motherfuckers, I'm like, look. Do we really need to hear your weak ass 4 minutes right now? Like you're not even trying to be good. You just out here because you need something to do. Fuck that. We in a pandemic. We got these motherfuckers filling in slots for shows that could have gone to somebody way more talented. Like, I'm tired of being in these lineups and I see so many people bombing. Like, it's like, did you even use the time that you had in the pandemic to fucking get better as a writer? Come up with better jokes? Like, what the fuck is this? Yes, I'm coming off like a big fucking asshole right now. But these people are bigger assholes. It's like, stop wasting people's time. Like, I can't. It's so many comedy shows that's like 15, 20 bucks, and they have these weak ass, mediocre ass lineups thinking, yeah, this shit that fire. No, the fuck is not fake ass dialogue. How you gonna be fake version of somebody who fake raps? Get the fuck out of here. Ugh, okay. Anyway. So, let me chill. But not really, because I have no chill. Like, my last name is Arenas, okay? Like, because I'm tired of everybody. Like, I'm tired of people thinking that I won't roast the shit out their ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of people not realizing that I'm giving them grace when I don't roast the shit out of their ass as soon as they say some stupid shit to me. Like, I really, truly do. And granted, all this shit that I'm saying on the podcast, yes, they already know what it is. It's no, oh, we cool in the front and then talk shit behind. No. I don't fake that, but the thing is, a lot of people come across like they're confused because they assume that as soon as I'm really, really blunt with them, they assume that I'm joking, and that's where they fuck up, because it's not your fault if you think that. And this is weird, every time I'm serious, people think I'm joking, or, you know what I'm saying? It's just wild to me. And just because I'm a funny bitch don't mean that I won't fuck you up. And I won't have to touch you. Like, I'll fuck you up with what I have to say about you. Because what I do the best, I feel that I am grateful for. I read you motherfuckers for the filth that you are. And I am no different. I read myself too. That's how I feel like I can be aware of the people who are around me now. Because I'm aware of how I am and how I come off as someone presenting myself in this society. I work very hard to be authentic. I work very hard to make it known how I feel and about certain things, certain people, certain situations. So I don't really do well at hiding how I feel. So it's usually no secret when people know that I don't fuck with them. But Oh well, sometimes they find out the hard way. Say, oh, Amber was serious, yeah. And, like that really happened. Like I had a whole, like I had a job like that where I walked the fuck out. Like I literally clocked out in the middle of my boss admonishing me and pointing in my face. I walked the fuck out, and for a whole last month, the niggas thought that I wasn't that I was playing. And yeah, so. You can find out the hard way if you want to that I ain't want to play. You know what I'm saying? Please, not A. She's not to play. Anyway, also, I'm also tired of these. I don't. There's a reason why, like, I stopped listening to, like, Flagrant 2, or, I don't ever listen to Joe Budden because I don't give a fuck. Because, or, like, but didn't Lil Wayne have like a podcast and he had two ugly ass niggas talking about the type of bitches they don't fuck with? yeah, it was 50 Cent and Lil Wayne. Like, a lot of times it just comes off as like, oh, and it's like, just fucking jerk off in a circle. Just say that. Just say you want to fucking jerk off with your homies in a circle. It's totally fine. I like that kind of porn. It's fucking hot. So go for it, bro. Do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Bro, bros, pumping out the. I don't know, we'll work on that. Blow bros. How about that? I guess no, because I'm not bum. Let's see, let's see, let's see. Handy dandies? Seriously, like, just fucking get in the circle jerk. Calm down, because this shit is so weird. Like, being like, oh, I don't know, I can't be with no bitch that blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut the fuck up, because you literally had the same washcloths for 5 years. So, what are we talking about? Like, what the fuck are we doing? You out here trying to finger bang bitches with hot Cheetos crust in your nails. Get the fuck out of here. You haven't washed your hands literally in 2 years. And you out here being like, I don't know, man. I can't fuck with no bitch that, goddamn. You know? Get the fuck out of here. Meanwhile, we be overlooking all kinds of shit just to make a nigga look like a prince. You know what I'm saying? Just to make a frog become a prince in our eyes. And these niggas the main ones who don't be fucking with us. It's funny as fuck. But hey, y'all do what you do. Cause it's funny. It's funny to me. You're like, yo, man, I can't be with no black bitch with no ass, man. That shit weird. It's like, all right then. Because I got, yeah, I'm definitely, I'm coming from a place because I've had hella niggas tell me that shit. And, like, I literally got rejected by so many black dudes. And I thought, like, for a while, I really thought, I was like, oh, well, maybe they just think I'm weird as shit, you know? Or maybe this, maybe that, or maybe, and this is, like, you know, all of the phases of my life. Like, you know, doing my sports years, I mean, doing my athletic years. Or athlete years, you know, I was like, oh, well, maybe they think I'm a lesbian, maybe they think I'm too boyish, maybe this, oh, maybe they think my voice is too deep. And then I was like, then I get to college, like, oh, well, shit, it's been, man, still no luck. Okay, well, maybe I'm just too weird. I don't know. Maybe, or maybe this. Like, it's always just been something like, well, maybe something's wrong with me, which is, like, that was just always the thing. It's like, oh, well, something must be wrong with me. If I'm not desired by a man, what am I then? What do I, what's there to live for if I'm not desired by a man? Fuck. And then I was like, oh, it's probably just because, I ain't got a big ass, so, like, that's just the bottom line. Black men ain't tit men, so that's pretty much what that is. And so, like, I would get all kinds of compliments, like, "Girl, you a queen, man. You dope as fuck," et cetera, et cetera. But that's about it. It's like the chemistry never existed because they see me walk away and they're like, "Dang, it's not jiggling enough for me." So, therefore, I don't know what to do. And that's funny. I find that really funny. Like, you have niggas who fall for whole ass bitches with fake old asses with no personality. You know what I'm saying? Like, the dialogue is in emojis, but yeah. Fuck me, though, because, yeah, niggas don't like to. They like to fuck bitches in the ass. They don't like titty fucking, I guess. So, yeah. And if I sound a type of way, that's because I do feel a type of way. Because I think that shit is really stupid and whack. So, oh well. But what's even whacker is when I went through a phase where I started fucking with dudes who was giving me the attention, and it was for whatever reason, just white niggas who went to black women, and that was very short lived. This is all fetishizing, and it didn't feel right for me because I'm very pro black, and I need somebody to understand what I'm saying as opposed to just being there quietly empathizing. So I had to let that shit go too. But the thing that bothered me most about that was the same black dudes who rejected me. They were all like, wow, really? Like, if you don't get your fucking weebay ass from The Wire out of here, like, fuck you. Like, that was when the shit got really upsetting, when they got mad because I fucked with the niggas who was giving me a chance. And so now it's like, oh, well, you fuck white niggas. It's like, oh, okay, sure. Like, you don't fuck a white bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. All I'm saying is that shit is really, really weak. Like, I mean, there's, like, gorgeous women who would be with a nigga who got a 1-inch penis, but, and overlook that shit and be like, he's my king. I love him. Like, really make this nigga feel like a king. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been there for niggas who didn't have a job for 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 years, just on the couch, you fetching them beer, and we overlooked that shit. That's tight, and you know, that's just so fucked up how that shit works, you know? So, it's just getting too weird for me, and I know cuffing season's upon us, and I am good. I got hella blankets, so I'm gonna keep myself warm, because right now, I just can't right now, like, It just bothers me that there's really people out here who just want to not give a dope chick a chance because she ain't got a fat ass, or she ain't got tits, or she ain't got this or that. It's just too much. So yeah, that was a lot that it was a lot of reflecting over the past week, because there were just certain things I just saw that I didn't really fuck with, and that kind of does just wraps itself in a little bow of, filed that category under miserable. Only miserable ass people do shit like this. So I ain't fucking with it. I ain't fucking with them. Y'all stay blessed though. Alright, let's go to the overtime. But you know what though? All my plants fuck with me, yo. For real. I'm very, very pleased to see my plants thriving, having babies. I love it. I didn't think, like, over a year, I mean, it's like a year in the making. Like, a lot happened in a year. Me growing nails and keeping them up on the regular, and keeping my plants alive on the regular. Feels great. I just got a new one. I got my favorite, the one I've been wanting for a while. A jalapeno pepper plant. And that baby is thriving. It just feels good because I get them, and then as soon as I have them in my room or outside by my, you know, outside by my entrance on my porch, they just all look so happy to be included. And also, my roommates, they have, she is a green thumb for real. So, I guess, you know, they sense that they're in a place that has a lot of plants. I mean, we tell people when they try to find our house, we're the house with the plants, because we have hella plants on the front stoop. So, yeah, all my plants work with me, man. So, I'm happy about it. And I've had some that have died, but it's okay, because you can buy another one and keep that one alive. Like, for instance, my rosemary plant. It is doing really, really well after the third time, because I was keeping it inside the first two times. And it was like, no, bitch, full sun. And I'm like, you're right. And it's just my beautiful, lovely bush. Wink. But yes, I'm very pleased with all the plants I have. So, yes, I'm that person. Also, I have been enjoying the fuck out of Netflix putting out all these 90s movies. I can't believe I watched My Girl as a kid, because I watched that shit for the first time as an adult and I cried buckets. I couldn't do it. And the scene with the bees still gets me. So, yes, that one. Saw Major Payne for the first time, actually. It was pretty funny. We've been robbed from getting more Karen Parsons movies and roles. Like, I don't know why I think she's great. I love Hilary Banks. I loved her in this movie. Don't have much in her filmography, and it's fucked up because she's awesome. The Last Boy Scout, that was great. I forgot Halle Berry was in that. But yes, that movie, damn. I was like, right, it's really about football and gambling. And looking at it now, with gambling being legalized, it's a different thing, but it's very interesting. It was great. There's a scene that I really love where Damon Wayans' character, he was the quote unquote disgraced football quarterback. He was saying, "Why do you think the NFL has an injury report? It's the only sport that releases an injury report. That's because the gamblers can have so they can have a more even spread, like, so they can know how to bet pretty much." And I was like, "Damn, I never." And it's not just, it's in all levels of, it's all levels too, because I remember when I covered football in college, I had to do an injury report every day. It was very grim because I never had one where they said no one was injured this week. Never. So yeah, Last Boy Scout's great with Bruce. I love Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. I love their, it was such a good rapport they had. So I fuck with that too. Oh man, so this movie I loved so much. When we first watched it, me and my brother watched it all the time. The Net with Sandra Bullock. Holy shit, that shit still holds. I watched it all the time as a kid. I watched it a couple of times as an adult. And then this is my first time watching it in about 5, 6 years at least. Always good. It's still to this day one of the best thrillers I've ever seen. I really love the 90s were great for thrillers. The 90s were great for a lot of things, man. I mean, the movies were great. I fucking love it. So yeah, it was really, really good seeing that again. I fucking love Sandra Bullock, man. I love pretty much all the shit she was in, While You Were Sleeping. I didn't see Demolition Man and Speed really, like, not fully. But oh man, Bird Box was terrible, but I loved her in The Heat, of course. And then Miss Congeniality is pretty goddamn funny. Yeah, I fucked with her. Well, I still do, but yeah, it was really good to see. That shit, that's a good one. And then, also, I've been rebuilding my Fear Street collection, because watching the movies, it just got me interested, and I really, really, really loved, that was my favorite thing to do, was when I got into Fear Street, I could not stop. I was so into it for about 6, 7 years, man. And also, he wrote a book, R.L. Stine, it's still, to me, one of the funniest books I've ever read, called Phone Calls. Just so fucking hilarious. So, he's a very great writer. I mean, Eureka's Castle, you can't go wrong with that. And then, oh yeah. Speaking of books, though, there is a bookstore in my neighborhood that I'm real stoked about. It's called, where'd it go? It's let's see. It's called 44th. 44th and Third, and in my hood, in off Lee Street, so it's on the southwest side. 44th and Third. It's over there in, yeah, historic West End, and it's black owned, of course. So gotta give them a shout out. Gotta check them out too. Can't wait. Oh, I saw Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad, as in the sequel to the first one. I haven't seen the first one yet, but the second one I did see, and it was good. I didn't think I would like it. I fucked with it. It was really, really good. I never watched really anything James Gunn did as far as, well, I definitely didn't see the Guardian of the Galaxy movie, so I probably need to get into that, because I got into the characters from the Avengers movies and made me want to go into Guardians of the Galaxy and give him a chance. So yeah, he killed that shit. And it's cool that they had Taika Waititi in it. He's the director who I know him from the, I mean, I was introduced by to him rather from the first movie I saw with him in it. What's that movie? What We Do in the Shadows. So fucking hilarious. He and Jermaine Clement. But yeah, when he took over the Thor franchise, when he did Ragnarok, he saved that shit. Cause the first two was just all I was like, man, it's getting worse. And then when Ragnarok came through, it was funny and witty. I mean, he had these quippy ass lines. And so it was cool that he was in, there was a scene with him in this one because it looks like James Gunn did the same thing with Suicide Squad. Like he came in and saved it from getting, because the script was solid. I mean, it was really great writing, so I fucked with that. And I didn't think I would like Harley Quinn's character as much, but that one, she's really good. Well, Margot Robbie's the shit. I, Tonya's a great fucking movie, so yeah. It is better acting. Viola Davis, man. I love her. Like, she's gorgeous to me, and she is a really solid actress. I really love her as an actress, and then I love her social media presence too, because she has a lot of real stuff about blackness. But some of the roles she does, I'm like, why are you always looking greasy, or you got snot in your nose, or you slobbing, you know, because you got so damn angry. There was like a scene in Suicide Squad where she gets so angry, she's like slobbing. I'm like, jeez, girl, why are you always. Man, because like that's why I didn't see the Ma Rainey movie, because it's like, man, they got her looking too greasy, man. I don't like that. So anyway, I don't know what my point is. It's like Viola, baby. But whatever, I did like her in Widows. So Widows is good. She was, yeah, that one. See, some of the roles she does, I'm like, yes, baby. But then there's some that's like, why you looking so greasy and letting them make you look like that? But sometimes, like, you know, sometimes women want to appear less attractive on screen so they won't distract from, like, Charlize Theron. Like, she's always doing a lot of movies where, like, Monster, or she's doing the fight movies where she's getting her ass beat a lot and it's always like bruised face and shit. So some women do that. I don't know if that's the case with her, and that's not the point. I don't want to end on that note because that's weird. But yeah, fun movies. I've been enjoying them because they've been pumping them out. It's like, okay, Netflix, I see what you're doing. And the HBO Max is like, okay, I see what you're doing. Oh yeah, Scarlett Johansson got hoes, man. That whole shit with Disney Plus, it's like they were like, here's your contract. You get buku money, but it's based on box office in the theaters, not the streams. They fucked her over, man. So maybe she'll come out. Yeah. I will always say I'm gonna do this more often, but I probably will because I'm gonna take these couple of weeks off for comedy and then still not do much because the next girls' night out is September 30th, so yeah. I don't know about shows in between, and plus it's just been kind of, I don't know, man. People being too weird right now because the pandemic, because of the numbers are rising again, so people are probably antsy that it's gonna be another quarantine slash lockdown situation. Well, if y'all motherfuckers act right, we wouldn't have it, you goofballs. I'm so not interested in people's takes on this shit. It's like, look, not agreeing with the CDC about the mask thing as a vaccinated person, that is one thing I understand. It's like, hey, you can go maskless indoors. I understand that as far as, you know, just being cautious. But the whole, I don't know, man. Like, shit. I mean, I don't know. Exactly. But did you know what the fuck tetanus was or smallpox? Like, we've all dealt with vaccines. So, what the fuck are we doing? But I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if I feel like having proof of vaccines is a thing. I don't know. But I do know that I am not interested in listening to Joe Bob's opinion about this shit when the motherfucker's free. Like, this vaccine shit is free, and nothing this good is free in our healthcare system. So if there's an opportunity for me to like really chop that curve, lessen the curve, whatever the fuck, I will take it. Cause, and I don't regret my decision of getting my vaccine, not a one bit. I don't regret that shit, and I definitely don't regret not listening to the CDC about that bullshit. I really feel like, I don't know if they've done up, my bad, y'all, we fucked up, but I really feel like they were really irresponsible for saying that shit, you know, especially when they release, okay, unvaccinated, X, 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 all the way down, and then vaccinated, all green. It's like, they really made it like it was how the media portrayed it just like 2 months ago. It's like, oh, you can go back to your normal lives. Went back to our normal lives. Motherfuckers started getting, it wasn't even called a Delta variant. They were calling it the UK variant. And I'm like, what the fuck? And now it's a major thing again. So, yeah, we got to be smart about shit. So if you still are on the fence about it, especially as a black person, if you're on the fence about getting it, I can't say I understand at this point anymore. Because, I don't think, I feel like only numbers that's lying is that it's probably even more than what they were reporting. I don't feel like they over-report. I feel like they're under-reporting the numbers. I really definitely do. So, because they don't want to have, like, a panic, but... So, I don't think the media's out here trying to be like, yeah, let's make up some shit to get people to do this shit, and then we're gonna be zombies. Like, if you have a smartphone, they already got us, bro. They already got us. Anyway... I hope you all have a lovely weekend. I know I will. I will enjoy it to the fullest because it's a blessing. I love being off on the weekends. I do work Saturday days. Working Saturdays are interesting, but I'm grateful that I don't work Sundays. So I'm glad I'll be able to rest, and I am going to enjoy the rest of my day. It's been a pleasure and awesome chatting with you all. Enjoy your day, and like I said, enjoy your weekend, and be safe, man. Just be safe out in them streets, for real. All right, peace.